Welcome to the message segment of Element of Carry Center International. Listen and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. I'll be ministering on the topic, be the custodian of your body. Praise God. Did you hear that? Be the custodian of your own body. Be in charge of your body. Hallelujah. Be in charge of your body. Be the custodian. Be the holder of your body. Hallelujah. My brothers, my sisters, I just like to encourage you this morning and to share with you a few things. Praise God. Christianity is a very beautiful thing. But Christianity is not a title. It's not a title. Praise God. Christianity is not a title. It's not a position. Christianity is not a profession. It is not a job. It's not a career. It's not a vocation. Christianity is not particularly a calling, except for the fivefold ministries and perhaps administration of some word. Praise God. Christianity is not a religion, is not a tradition, as some people think. Christianity is much more. Hallelujah. Even as a pastor, even as an evangelist, even as a prophet, even as a teacher, praise God, you are first a Christian before those callings. So Christianity is not a position, it's not a title, it's not a profession, it's not a career, it's not a job. Praise God. It's much more. Christianity is a way of life. Praise God. It is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a life that is patterned after Christ. That is Christianity. Praise God. It is an access. Christianity is an access. Christianity is a life of sacrifice, is a life of love, is a life of care. Hallelujah. Christianity is a relationship with Christ. This is what Christianity is all about. Praise God. Your body is God's habitation. Your body is God's dwelling place. That's your body. And that's why the topic this morning says, be a custodian of it. That means you've got to take charge of this body. You've got to manage your body. Hallelujah. Man is a tripartite being. In other words, man is made up of three things together, working together. Hallelujah. Man is his tripartite in nature. Man is a spirit. Man has a soul. Man lives in a body. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. And this is what the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He tells us that man is a spirit and man has a soul and he has a body. He lives in a body. He said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, talks about your spirit, your soul and your body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. It means that, I told you, man is a tripartite person. It means that your spirit, your soul, and your body, they are very important and they are to be preserved till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. They are to be preserved until he comes. And so 3 John verse 2 tells us, 3 John 1 verse 2, he says, he talks to us that there is need to ensure that our spirit and our soul and our body, they prosper together. They work together. He said, beloved, I pray that thou mayest prosper in all things and be in health, even also as your soul prospers. So he says, your spirit, your soul, and your body must also prosper. You must prosper in all things, not prospering in one area. You cannot be prospering spiritually and then your soul is suffering. Your decision-making faculty is suffering. You can't be, you know, prospering in material things, your body, and then your spirit man is suffering. No, it says all of them must be prospering at the same time. Hallelujah. Praise God. These parts are distinct. Yes, the spirit, the soul, and the body, they are distinct, but they are interacting. They work together. They are inseparable. Praise God. Your spirit, of course, is the controller. The spirit is the main man. He is the controller. When God made the body was lifeless until the spirit was put into that body. He became a living being. The Bible says he became a living soul. So your body is useless without a spirit. Your body is, your soul is useless without a body. Praise God. So you need these three things work together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The spirit connects with God. And you know, this is what God breathed into man that made man to become a living being. Praise God. After that, he molded man. I think in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We don't need to go there. Praise God. After that, he breathed into him. He gave him a spirit. He gave him a soul. And then the body stood up. Praise God. Now, the spirit is what connects with God. The spirit is the inner man. God, the Bible lets us know that God is a spirit. And it says, those who worship him must also do so. Praise God. In spirit. So, man connects with him via the spirit. Now, the soul represents your personality. It represents your mind. It is the seat of intellect. It is the seat of your emotions. It's your choice faculty. Praise God. It's about your temperament. That is your soul. And it is the bridge between the spirit and the body. The soul is the bridge between the spirit and the body. So the spirit cannot function without the body, and especially here on earth. So the soul is the bridge. So they are all connected. The soul connecting the body with the spirit. Praise God. So when God breathed into man the spirit, he says that man, that body became a living soul. That's what the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the soul represents your personality. It represents your decision-making faculty. Hallelujah. So your soul is the seat of your will. That is where your will is domiciled. Your soul is where your will is domiciled. Praise God. Now, God gives you a will and God gives you a mind. Now, God does not control your will for you. God expects and says that you should control your will by yourself. God took away, God gave it to you. God is not the one that controls your will. Praise God. Hallelujah. He tells you to do that by yourself. So you are the controller of your will. In other words, the spirit really somehow controls the will and controls your soul and controls your body. Hallelujah. The body is the house that shelters the spirit and shelters the soul. He interacts with the physical world. Hence, your existence here on earth. Hence, your dominion here on earth. Hence, your dominance here on earth. It's called the outer man, the body. Hallelujah. Now, it is the body that we'll be discussing today. It is the body that we'll be talking about today. Be a custodian of it. Take care of it. It is your responsibility. Let me paint a scenario so that you will understand what I'm talking about this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, All of us here live in a house. Am I correct? You came from a house this morning to church. You live in a house. In that house, you have different rooms in the house. You have your kitchen, you have the parlor, you have the different sections, bathroom and everything. The design, the decorations inside the house, they are there. Am I correct? You live in that house. These things I have mentioned, they're all inside the house. Am I correct? But then there is also the house, which is the edifice. For example, you're passing, you know that this is your house. Am I correct? Now, that house that you see is your body. Then the different sections in that house, the kitchen, your sitting room, your lobby, your bathroom, all of those, the bedrooms, your bar, your fridges, everything, they are like the soul in that house. Praise God. But you now that live in that house, you are the spirit. I don't know if you understand. And that's how human functions. Now you that live in the house, you are the one that controls what will be where and what will not be where. You are the one that determines how that the house looks like. Praise God. You are the one that will say, oh, I want to design this house. You know what I've said? A house is built by wisdom. He said, by wisdom, a house is built. And by not understanding, it is established. And then he said, by wisdom, it's designed preciously. That's what the Bible tells us. Praise God. So you are the one that determines how beautiful that your house looks like. You may see a house that looks fine outside. Then when you go inside, it's nothing to behold. Praise God. Does it happen like that? You might also see a house that looks ugly outside. But if you go inside, it's a palace. Is that correct? Now, how do you marry a house that looks beautiful outside, but inside is rubbish? How do you marry the two? Again, how do you also marry a house that looks ugly outside, but inside is beautiful? No. The Bible is telling us today that our body, our spirit, and our soul, they must work together beautifully. And it says it is important that this body, we should be a custodian of it. We should take care of it. Praise God. Life is so much about decision. It's so much about decision. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, he said, I beseech you, as a matter of urgency. That's what he's talking about. He said, I beseech thee, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters. He said, as a matter of urgency, I call on you today to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. As a Christianity is a life of sacrifice. He said, I beseech you therefore that you present your body. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's what the Bible tells us. Hallelujah. Which is your reasonable service. This is required of you for the service of God. This body is required of you for the service of God. Without this body, you cannot serve God. This body, without it, you cannot serve God. And that's the more reason why you've got to take care of it. It says, be a custodian of it. Now, which body are you going to present to him? Which body are you going to present before God? Which body? Praise God. Is it a destroyed body that you present before God? Is it a misused body that you present before God? Is it a body that is ravaged or being ravaged by illness, infirmity, that you present before? Is he a body, by the way, that has been taken custody or captive by demons that you present before God? Is it a body that is dirty that you present before God, or a body that is clean? Is it a body that is dead that you present before God? No. Is it a holy body that you present before God? He says, yes, I agree. Is it a body that is healthy that you present before God? It's a question that only you can answer. Hallelujah. Is it a physically perfect body and a well-taken care body that you present before God? Hallelujah. A body to be presented before God, however that you understand it, must be a body that is well taken care of. And this is what God wants. I will show you from the scriptures. This is what God wants for us. Hallelujah. Presenting your body to Him is for His use and for nothing else. I've told you that God has a need, and that's why He made us. Praise God. The Bible says that your body is the living temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible tells in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? In other words, it says that your body is a dwelling place of God. So if your body is the dwelling place of God, why would you not take care of it? Praise God. On Wednesday, we're talking about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. And I try to, put a dichotomy between these. I said, no, that's not how it works. They work together. Those scriptures, they work together. Those statements, they work together. He says to us, this body is where God dwells. Please leave that scripture on the screen. Praise God. This is a place. Your body is a dwelling place of God. He said, or do you not know? Are you not aware that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? God is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Verse 20. Praise God. He says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You will glorify God in a body that is well taken care of. Glorify God in that body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, they're working together. Praise God. The spirit dwells there. So you are expected to take care of that body. It is your body that houses the Holy Ghost. It is the body that houses your soul. How then would you allow that body, which the Holy Spirit lives and dwells? How can it still be sick? You allow that body to be ravaged by sickness. You allow that body to be dirty. You allow that body to be impure. You allow that body to be dead. Hallelujah. God has given you the authority to take care of that body. He has given the authority to rule over your body. Praise God. Luke 10:19 says so. He says, beloved, I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and on scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God gave you this authority. It's about your body. He wants you to take care of it. You must take care of this body. Hallelujah. Take care of the body. Praise God. You know, there's a song, a songwriter. He says, when the spirit takes over your soul, when the spirit takes over your soul, he says that who knows that song? When the spirit takes over my soul, when the spirit takes over my soul, you will be changed. And then his glory will be revealed in you. You don't know that song? Oh, when the spirit takes over my soul, when the spirit takes over my soul, thou will be changed and his glory be revealed. When the spirit takes over my soul. You've not heard that song before? Hey, who knows that song? You know that song? No, I want us, please stand to your feet, everybody. You will know this song. Everybody, wherever you are, stand to your feet. Choir will teach you this song today. This morning. Yes. Take your microphone. Because we'll sing it. Hallelujah. When the spirit takes over my soul. When the Spirit takes over my soul, I'll be changed. And the Spirit be revealed when the Spirit takes over my soul. When the Spirit takes over my soul. When the Spirit takes over my soul, I'll be changed. And the glory be revealed when the Spirit takes over my soul.
Yes, now you can sing that song.
When the Spirit takes over my soul. When the Spirit takes over my soul. I'll be changed. And glory be revealed when the Spirit takes over my soul.
Yes, sing it again, sing it again.
When the Spirit takes over my soul.
When the Spirit takes over your soul, the same Spirit will take over your body. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed in you. That's what the song is telling us. When the Spirit takes over your soul, when the Spirit takes over your body, there will be a revealing, there will be a glory of the Lord being revealed in your body. It will be revealed. Hallelujah. For the last time. Yes, sing it. Of that body, and when the Spirit of the Lord takes over your soul, as I gave you a scenario about your house, when the Spirit of the Lord takes over your soul, listen, His glory will be revealed in your life. When your soul is taken over, your body reacts to it. Hallelujah. You are the one that will take care of that body. You are the custodian of that body. And you are to keep it in perfect shape. You are to keep it in perfect state. It is not any other. And this is what God wants you to do. More often than not, your body is a target of the devil. I hope you know. Your body is a target of the devil. Your mind is a target of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. He seeks to destroy it. He seeks to make it unfit for the use of the master. The devil seeks to destroy that body. The devil seeks to make that body unfit, whether by sickness, whether by whatever form. He wants to make it unfit for the use of the master. A man that is sickly cannot serve God well. Or you are not aware. If you're sick in your body, you cannot serve God in the manner that you should serve God. If you're sick in your mind, you cannot serve God in the manner that you should serve God. And this is the target of the devil. But God is telling us, I have given you authority to take care of the body, to manage your body, to be a custodian of your body. Hallelujah. And doing this is a personal decision that you must make. And of course, the Bible recommends all of that. Hallelujah. So when the devil takes over, when the devil attacks your body, you may become, through sin, through temptation, through illness, through despair, by extension, he destroys your faith. By extension, he creates fear. By extension, He causes physical and spiritual burnout to the extent that you get disconnected from God. So God is telling us, be a custodian of your body. Hallelujah. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible talks about Daniel and his friends. Daniel chose not to defile himself with the king's rich food and wine while they lived in Babylon. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar already took captive of Judah. In fact, Judah disobeyed God. And so God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to take captive of that of Judah. And in death, Nebuchadnezzar began to look for people who will serve him. And said, go and look for them. And there were four people, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. They were excellent men. They were men with the Bible said they were men with excellent spirits. Praise God. He chose not to defile himself with the king's rich food and wine. Instead, he requested a diet of vegetable. Let me read it. Verse 8. It says, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Praise God. He says, give us 10 days. We will not eat the food that the king has ordered for us to eat. He said, we will not eat of it. But give us 10 days. Look at our appearance. Look at our body. If we don't look better than all the people that have been eating from the king's table, then do whatever thing that you want to do. But God had granted them favor, even before the eunuchs. Praise God. Hallelujah. And after 10 days, he and his friends appeared more robust and healthier and better than every other person that lived in that province as at that time, or that ate the royal food. There are lessons, there are inferences that must be drawn from this account that we have just read. If you look at this narrative, it emphasizes certain things. Number one, self-discipline. Listen, to take care of this body, you must apply self-discipline. Decision. And this is where your body works in consonance with your mind, with your soul. Hallelujah. Daniel practiced restraints and made conscious choice about what he ate or what he would eat or what he would consume. He made conscious effort not to defile himself. The king food, he said, could have been offered to idols. They could have been presented, you know, to the idols. Certain things would have been said on those food before bringing it to them. He said, no, I'm a different person. I care about my body. It is not everything that enters into this body. I care about it. Praise God. That is number one. Number two, conviction. He was convinced. Conviction-driven health choices. His decision was rooted in spiritual commitment. Praise God. His decision was rooted in spiritual commitment, showing that physical care can reflect spiritual obedience. He avoided compromises. He didn't want any compromise. He avoided them. Praise God. He is telling me that physical care can reflect spiritual obedience. And this is not something that is known to us. It's not known to us. We do not know that physical care reflects your godliness. It reflects spiritual obedience. We don't know. There are some of us here. Listen, sometimes we come up here, I tell you what I do that works for me. It is practically not possible to see me eat out. Praise God. You will not see me go and eat mama put. Everybody that knows me will tell you so. I don't do that. Praise God. Why should you go to mama put? You do not know how that food was made. I have heard situations where they say they use one thing to cook food that people eat. Or have you not heard it? Even you have heard it. Why do you still go there to eat? You are not disciplined. No self-discipline. In the morning, you carry plate. You're going to Mama Putu to go and buy something. You want to go and buy food. Sometimes their food is very sweet. And when you eat it, you remember that the food is very sweet. The next morning, you carry a flask. You want to go and buy food and eat. Why don't you apply restraint? Restraint, apply it. Praise God. You are a man. There are people that are married here. They will prefer to go and eat Mama Put food than to eat their wife's food. They will go to Mama Put and they will spend 20,000 and they have not given their wife's food. It's an error. It's an error. Whether they're in this church or they're outside the church or they're watching online, wherever they are, is an error. Praise God. I said, why don't you go home and eat your wife's food? If it comes, drink tea in the morning. Praise God. When you get home, eat good food. They say, no, tea is not food. It is water. How can tea be water? If tea is water to you, then you don't have self-discipline. Praise God. You prefer to go and buy that rice and beans and plantain and ukodo in the morning. It will shock you to know that I have seen people in the morning, they carry plate, they go and buy apple and vegetable and soup. And they're eating. And then I wonder, how is this possible? Why don't you give that money to your wife and say, before I come back, make good food for me. She will balance and make the food and wait for you. I just imagine, some people have offered me food. I said, listen, at 2 o'clock, I say, if I eat this food, I cannot eat food at home. Praise God. And so I won't try it. I will not eat. Because there is food, good food, waiting for me at home. For everybody that knows me, I'm telling you what I do. I'm not telling you stories. Praise God. This is what Daniel and his friend did. They said, no, king, don't give us food. We'll order our own food. Give me vegetable, give me water. I'll be nourished. Spiritual discipline. Spiritual commitment. Spiritual obedience. Praise God. The king Nebuchadnezzar did not come with a good mind, even when he came to take them captive. Praise God. Somebody will come and take you captive. You know that this person is your enemy. He will still give you food. You open your mouth. Wow. Where is the discipline? Praise God. He also talked about holistic wellness. Daniel's physical health supported his mental sharpness and spiritual strength. What he ate gave him an edge over every person in that place. They were magicians. They were astrologers. But he only ate vegetables. He did not eat their pepper soup. He did not eat their food. He did not drink their wine. The Bible says he ate vegetable. He drank water. Yet, when the king was to select, they appeared the best mentally, sharply, in all aspects of life. He said, these ones are different. God's spirit was at work in them. Praise God. Hallelujah. The body as part of God's purpose, this you must know. By keeping himself, Daniel I'm talking about, by keeping himself healthy, he remained fit for the service to God. If you don't keep yourself healthy, you will not be fit for service to God. You will not be fit for service to God. You will not be. Hallelujah. He gained more knowledge and skill and understanding and special ability instead above every other person because of his decision. Faithfulness in small decisions lead to greater influence. And this is one thing that we do not know how to appreciate. Faithfulness in little things. Listen, they take you far. They bring you to a limelight. Faithfulness in small things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Daniel stood firm without being disrespectful. He said, no, grant us some time. Give us 10 days. When we appear, you will see how that we look. We'll look different. And if we don't look different and robust and beautiful, deal with us in the manner that you want. My brother and my sister, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Now, this is about physical matters. When the Bible talks about self-control, in that Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he's talking about physical matters. Show me 23. Praise God. He says, look at it. Gentleness, then self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Ghost. He says, against such, there is no law. Self-discipline is important. It's about physical matters. It talks about diet. It talks about exercise. It talks about habits. It talks about rest. It talks about necessary restraints. Hallelujah. Every habit, every addiction is conquered not only by prayer and fasting, but by self-control, by restraints, and by decisions. Did you hear that? I said every habit, every addiction, every misbehavior, every nonsense is conquered not only by prayer and fasting. I tell people, sometimes what you need is self-discipline. That's what you need. Praise God. Maybe every now and then you want to commit fornication. Take for example. I always love this because fornication is a destroyer. And that's why I always use it. Praise God. So when that sister came and said, I made a decision. It was not the prayer and fasting that make her to succeed. It was a decision. It was self-temperance, self-discipline, self-control that made her to succeed. He says, it's been 1 year I have stood. Praise God. Did you hear that testimony? Even some of you that heard it. Let me stop it. So before they will tell me they are not in this church. Praise God. Self-discipline. It's not the prayer and fasting that she's been doing. They are important. But then self-discipline, self-control will help you to achieve so much. Hallelujah. The devil is interested in that body. And so God says, be a custodian of it. Take care of it. Hallelujah. Take care of it. It's by self-control. It's by restraint. It's by making decisions. God is interested in that body because he made it and he wants to dwell there. That's where he wants to dwell. Job 1:12. Job, Satan had come to God and said, this man, I want to deal with him. Look at what God says. He said, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. In other words, do not lay a hand on his body. Don't destroy that body. Because that body is important. Job, his spirit is there, he's alive. He said, but don't destroy this body. It was an instruction, a command that God gave to Satan. Don't touch that body. He said, don't touch it. God recognized the importance of the body. Without the body, the spirit cannot function here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, and do not conform to this world, but be renewed in your mind. He said, and do not conform to, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Renewing your mind or managing your mind is done through the word, meditating on the word. That is how to manage your body as well, to keep it divine, to keep it in divine health. That's how to manage your body. The way you manage your soul, your mind, is also the way you manage your body, by the word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Sam is speaking. He says, the word of God is medicine. That's what he says to us. He said, they are medicine to your body. They are life to them who find them. He said, for they are life to those who find them. And they are health to their flesh. He says, the word, why is God interested in the flesh? Why is God flesh? I just wish you will understand this. Flesh in itself is not bad. It is when you begin to gratify it above the spirit, that's when it becomes bad. It says that the word of God is flesh, is hell to them that find them, is medicine to your body. God is interested in that body. The Bible talks about the same in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker. Hallelujah. He says, wine is a mocker. And he says that strong drink is a brawler. He said, wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler. In other words, he says, being a brawler means to be quarrelsome. It means to be cantankerous. When you drink, you begin to misbehave. what it means.
Praise God. Is it the cantankerous? You're saying, Hallelujah.
To be cantankerous means to be quarrelsome. Every now and then you they quarrel. They never even talk, you don't they quarrel. He said that wine is a mocker, then strong drink is a brawler. In other words, strong drink makes you you want to fight. You want to pick quarrel with somebody. And he said, whoever is led astray by it is not wise. This has to do with your body. Praise God. It has to do with your body. It has to do with your body. You must take care of that body. Hallelujah. Take care of it. Verse chapter 23 of Proverbs. Let's look at 20 and 21. He said, do not mix with wine bibbers. Don't mix with drunkards. Don't be friends with drunkards. Proverbs 23 verse 20. He said, do not mix with wine bibbers. He said, do not mix with those who eat too much, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Many of you do not know that eating too much is a sin. Praise God. Eating too much is a sin. I'm not the one that said it. Look at it. Go back to 20 so that you will see it. Yes, he said, do not mix with wine bibbers. In other words, wine bibbers, they are drunkards. Those who drink and be drunk. They will drink themselves to stupor. They're always drunk. They will drink and become useless. Praise God. They become useless. They talk foolishly. And he says, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. It is not only meat. Gluttonous eaters of apple. Gluttonous eaters of rice. Whatever, with anything. So it's not only meat. Some people will go to a restaurant and then they will order, if you see the meat, and they will sit like this and they will eat it and they are sweating. And they say they are enjoying. Listen, the Bible says you're unwise. I'm not the one that says so. You are unwise. Praise God. Eat and look fine. Eat and look normal. Eat and be spiritually alert. When you eat too much, you snore. Even when God is talking to you, you will not hear. Praise God. Even when you dream, you will not even remember the dream. And for some of you that have complained about the fact that you dream and you don't remember, stop eating in the night so that you'll be hungry. By the time you dream, the dream will wake you up. And then you will sit down and think about the dream. You will remember. Praise God. The reason why you don't remember is because you have loaded yourself. Praise God. I have a friend who told me, I can wake up by 12 o'clock and eat. I said, listen, you and eat well. It does not affect me, says who? You are indisciplined. Praise God. Even if you are hungry, how can you wake up 12 and eat abu and eat eba? Because you think that you have mouth to eat. Because you think it's your body. God is telling us we should take care of this body. Maintain the body. Hallelujah. He said, verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. Look at it. He said, for the drunkard and the glutton, they will come to poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. When you have drank, when you have taken drink to the extent that you have drunk yourself to stupor. The Bible says, you even when you wear rags, you don't know. You don't know. You think you will see an electric pole that is there. You say, this electric pole, you want to dodge it. Because you think that the electric pole is in your front. It's not in your front. You have drunk yourself to, or you have not seen them. Praise God. There are some people that they do drugs. Listen, it doesn't take anything to stop it. All it takes is decision. Say, from today, I cease to take this thing. And keep to it. Even when the urge comes, say, no, I have made a decision. I will not take it. I will not do this. It's all about decision. Praise God. Once you have taken that decision, the Holy Ghost is there to help you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is there to help you. He says in 1 Corinthians, we have read it, 3 verse 16 to 17. He says, don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Do you not know that you're God's temple? Your body is a living place of God. you are a habitation of God. God dwells in the heavens. God dwells in the temple as in the old time in the tabernacle. And today God dwells in the believers. And you are the believer. He talks about your body. That's where God dwells. God dwells in your body. Take care of it. Hallelujah. Take care of it. Let's look. Oh God.
Can we look at verse 17 and see what it says?
God warning us. He says, if anyone defies the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple that you are? He says that you are holy. He said, for anybody who destroys it. And that's why I say, there are certain things you commit. You think that God has forgiven you. Yes, forgiveness is that, but you pay for the sin. For every sin that you commit, you pay for it. Don't just think that, oh, you say, I want to go and do this. I will repent after. I've heard people say so. Let me enjoy. After some time, maybe after 10 years, I will repent. It doesn't matter. But for every sin that you have committed in these 10 years, you will begin to pay for them. Praise God. You will begin to pay for them. He says, if you destroy this temple, God says he will destroy you. Look at verse 17. Of 1 Corinthians 3, look at it. He said, if anyone defies this temple, he did not even destroy. He said, if anyone you see the reason why Daniel, as a friend, said, will not defile this body. He said, I will not defile this body. He said, if anyone defies the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. So this body must be kept holy. Praise God. It must be kept holy. Hallelujah. God's temple is sacred, and that temple is who you are. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I want to let you know how that God cherishes this body. Some of you think that it's not necessary. Look at it, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little. Listen, for bodily exercise profits a little. It means that body exercise is also, it profits, even though it's little. But it says, but godliness is profitable in all things, for having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So to do exercise is also important. Don't discountenance it, because it helps your body. Praise God. And in 1 Corinthians, I'm rounding off, 10:31, it says, do all things, including eating and drinking, for the glory of God. So whatever that you do, let it be for the glory of God. Whatever that you do, and it makes you to misbehave, it makes you to do nonsense, it is not for the glory of God. Hallelujah. There's a balance that says, cleanliness is next to godliness. I know we've all heard this. Have you not heard it? Cleanliness is next to godliness. This statement is not in the Bible, but they say it. But it is correct, because there are shades of it in the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He said, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. He says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Cleanliness is a reflection of godliness. The godliness of a man, listen to me, the godliness of a man who does not take care of his body is questionable. The godliness of a man who does not take care of his body is questionable. Christianity demands that you take care of your body. Have you ever imagined? There are people, you will see some Christians, for example, when they talk, their mouth smells. Their mouth smell. Have you seen that before? How do you feel when you are around them? Praise God. You don't feel comfortable. When they talk, you want to take cover. Now, if you're a Christian, do you think that portrays you? If you're a Christian and when you talk, your mouth smell, do you think if you tell somebody to give your life to Christ, the person will give your life to Christ? The person will not listen to you. The person will even go first. In fact, as the person turns and leaves, he will say, you that have given your life to Christ, this is how you are, and you're asking me to come and join you. I will not join you. That's what the person says. There are people who have body odor, for example. They are around you. When they raise their hand, praise God. Now, what the Bible says is to take care of that body. The Bible has not said to us, again, applying perfume is also part of taking care of the body. We understand. But do not apply perfume in a body that smells. If you apply perfume in a body that smells, that perfume will mix with that odor and it will become double. Praise God. And it will become a bomb. Praise God. That when it oozes, it has the capacity to push you down. Praise God. So don't try it. What you first need to do is to find a way to, there is nothing that does not have a cure. Find a way to take care of it. But I have also understood that some do not know that they have body odor. Praise God. Listen to me. Hey, I give you an instruction today. It says, obedience to small things gives you greater influence. Did you hear that? So I'm going to ask you to do something. If you know somebody whose mouth smells, and you know somebody who has that killing body odor, I command you today to go and meet that person. What is R? Meet that person. Tell the person, come. And tell the person, I love you. And I heard the message. And I thought I should let you know. Don't be offended. Don't be offended at what I want to tell you. But I think that, okay, what you will do to make it easier, before you go and meet the person, go and find what the solution or the cure is, so that you can profile, you can tell the person. And so I think if you do this, it will help you, it will help you very well. Praise God. But let the person know. Because some people, you know, when you wear perfume too much, you don't perceive it anymore. But when you walk past, people perceive that perfume. And they will say it's powerful. But you that wear it, you don't even know. That is what the body odor has become to them. So they are not aware. Some of them are not aware. So if you are aware and the person is your friend, call the person, tell the person. Praise God. Whether the person's mouth is smelly, tell the person. Let me. You know why I'm saying this? You never can know, or you never know what you're doing to the body of Christ. Eh? When you do not take care of this thing I'm talking to you about. And it also costs you so many things. Praise God. Some are not married today because of it. I hope you know. Some are not married because of it. Hallelujah. Some are not married because of it. Men run away from you. Women run away from you because of this. You never can tell what you are doing to the body of Christ because of these orders I'm talking about. Your body is another reason why Jesus came. Hear me. Your body is another reason. Jesus came for the poor. Jesus came for deliverance. But your body is another reason why Jesus came. You have read that scripture so many times, but this is what it means. John chapter 10, verse 10. Look at it. It's a popular scripture that you know. John chapter 10, he said, the devil has come to steal. Look at it. He said, the thief comes except to steal. The reason why the devil has come is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you will have life and that you will have it in full. You will have it abundantly. That's what the Bible says. Jesus came for this reason. You're for your body. Or you don't know. Whatever that happens to you, listen to me. Whatever that happens in your mind, whatever that happens in your spirit, reflects in your body. I hope you know. Whatever that happens to you in your spirit, in your mind, it reflects in your body. You will see it. The manifestation is on the body. Because what people see, I will not see your spirit. I will not see your mind. But I will see your body. If I look at your face, I will know whether you are in trouble or you're not in trouble. That trouble stems from what happens in your mind, in your choice faculty. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the essence of the Spirit and why the Spirit is the controller is that the Spirit has all it takes to control your mind and to control this body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus purchased your body. I thought that's the reason why he came. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20, that's why he came. We read it before. It said Jesus has already purchased our body. So take care of it. He said, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God says, I have purchased it. I am interested in this body. I have purchased it. I paid a price dearly for it. How can I pay a price and you are not taking care of the body? Be a custodian of it. Take care of it. Dress well. Dress well at all times. Smell nice. Speak the word of God to your body. Preach the word of God to the people. This is the only way people can listen to you. Hallelujah. He says our bodies are made perfect by the stripes that Jesus took. Our bodies have been made perfect by the stripes that he took. I'd like you to stand to your feet. Take care of your body. Take care of the body. Be a custodian of that body. Praise God. I want that everybody who is a member of Element of Charis, from today and from the words that you hear, when you step out, people will see something different about you. People will see you and say, there is something different about this man. They will see you and they will glorify God on your behalf. If you do not take care of your body, they will not see it as so. Praise God. It doesn't take money to do all of this that I've just spoken to you about. It takes discipline. It takes discipline. So my brothers and my sisters, be a custodian of your body. Take care of your body. Praise God. People want to be around you. If you used to squeeze face, stop squeezing your face so that you will not be pushing people. They told me in the office that I used to squeeze my face a lot. Praise God. They told me. It's not now, it's before. It's never too thin, but it's before. They said if they look at my face, they will run away. As I did not know. Praise God. And then sometimes I will gather a few of my staff and I will say, talk to me about me. Some of them are here, they are looking at me. So I'm not telling you a story that does not exist. I say, come. I want you to, don't worry, I'm your boss. But just be free, talk to me, I want to know. Because I want to know how to relate. I want to be a better person. And said, some of them will not be free to talk. I say, talk, I know they punish you. Just talk. And then they will be open and they will talk to me. Praise God. And trust me, over the years I have learned, today the story is different. The same people that said, I used to be a terror, let me put it that way. They have said now that I have become overly friendly. Praise God. Has the story not changed? Has it not improved my walk with God? Understand what I'm talking about. The life that we live is about him. It's not about you. It's about him. I want you to lift up your hands towards heaven and speak faith. Use your tongue to begin to speak the word of God over your body. That's your body. Speak God's word over it. Begin to speak God's word over your body. Speak to it. Begin to speak that your body will hear you. The words that come from the Spirit, the body will respond to them. Begin to speak God's word over your body. Instead of declaring that your body is sick or you're feeling weak, no. Begin to declare God's word over your body. Speak life to your body. The Bible said that the word of God is medicine to our bodies. It's medicine to our flesh. He said it's medicine, it's health to as many that find the word of God. Begin to speak. Speak life to your body. Say, I am sacred in the name of Jesus. Say, I am living a life of sexual purity in the name of Jesus. Begin to speak these words. Begin to speak them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Speak them. Speak them. Praise God. Musicians, stop. God bless you. Thank you. Because I want you to pray this prayer alongside. Praise God. Say, I am sacred. Say, I am sacred. I speak life to my body. I am living a life of sexual purity. I refuse to pollute this temple. Father, help me. In the name of Jesus. Can you pray that prayer? Declare that you're sacred. Declare that you're living a life of sexual purity. Begin to speak over your body. Speak God's word over it. Listen, listen, listen. I'm not hearing you. I want you to speak. Praise God. I want you to speak. I want you to speak over your body. Speak to your body. Begin to speak. Begin to declare that you're sacred. It is very important. Say, I refuse to pollute this temple. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, according to the Bible. So I refuse to pollute it. I will not pollute this body from today. I have an understanding not to pollute this body. In the name of Jesus, begin to take authority over every symptom of sickness in your body. Take authority over them. Take authority over every symptom of sickness in your body. Begin to take authority over them. Begin to take authority over them. Every illness, take authority over it. Every disease, take authority over it. Every pain, take authority over it. In the name of Jesus, everything, symptom that is manifesting in your body is not supposed to be there. Begin to take authority over them. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Begin to submit everything that you are to God. Resist all forms of ungodliness. Say, I resist all forms of ungodliness in the name of Jesus. I submit to God's will and word in the name of Jesus. I am prospering in my spirit. I am prospering in my soul. I am prospering in my body. I dwell in safety all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Yes, I dwell in safety all the days of my life. My spirit is prospering. My soul is prospering. My body is prospering. In the name of Jesus, the supernatural life of God is at work in me. Therefore, I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be broken. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to be harmed. In the name of Jesus. And finally, I wanted to ask the Lord to prepare you a sanctuary for Him. Ask Him to prepare. He said, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him. Ask the Lord to prepare you a sanctuary, pure and holy, for His use and occupation. In the name of Jesus, ask Him to prepare you a sanctuary. A sanctuary that is pure, a sanctuary that is holy, a sanctuary that is for His use and for His occupation. Say, Father, today I yield myself to You in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Exodus 25 verse 8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God is asking, make me a sanctuary, become a sanctuary that I may dwell inside of you. Ask the Lord to help you, to make you a sanctuary, pure and holy, in the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. Glorious is your name, righteous Father. Even as we have heard all of this, we ask that you help us. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Father, make us a sanctuary for your use. Make us a sanctuary for your occupation. In the name of Jesus. Father, cause us, oh God, cause your life, your supernatural life to be at work in us. In the name of Jesus. And as we refuse, oh God, to be sickly, to be broken, to be defeated, and to be harmed. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are prospering in every area of our lives. Spiritually, we are prospering.
bodily, we are prospering. In our soul, we are prospering. Father, in every day of our lives, we are prospering. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we dwell in all forms of safety in the name of Jesus. No harm will befall us, even as we go out, even as we come in, no harm will befall us. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, our body will be whole and intact and until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to your word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Father, so shall it be in the name of Jesus. We present them blameless until the day that you come again to take us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Put your hands together for Jesus and give a shout offering unto him this morning.
The message you've just listened to was brought to you by Elements of Carry Center International, number 6, Obutokutu OPT Road, after Plantation City Estate Fence, OPT. You can worship with us every Sunday, 8 a.m. for our Celebration of Grace service. Wednesdays are for Bible study, 5 p.m. Fridays for prayer and counseling, 9 a.m. Element of Carry Center International, a place of comfort.